Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. This is Doug Rocky, and tonight I'd like to say hello to everybody out there. And one thing is very important for everybody to know, and Gary Noll and I just talked about this, Warrior Connection is the voice for veterans in the United States. It's the voice for veterans organizations across the United States and any place else that they need help. So we're out here to help you, and we want you to connect with us and help us and get the information out to ensure that medical care is provided to all the veterans of our nation who've answered the call to serve our nation. And anyhow, welcome. Anyhow, as we do each week, we'd like to start off. I think Denise is with us, Major Denise Nichols, registered nurse, U.S. Air Force retired. She's doing an update on what's happening on the Hill, and then, as always, we'll have a remembrance. Denise, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm going to start out with a remembrance. Doug, we've had about 15 since the start of April, and I'm just picking out one at random to remember him, and it's Mr. Dana Edward Biscoe, age 46. And he died at his residence. The only clue we may have of his death is that they're asking for donations to the American Heart Association. He was 46 years old. He served in the United States Marine Corps. And he was employed with the post office until he died. So he leaves, let's see if I can get this straight. He has a son, Corin Biscoe, of Columbus, Ohio, and his father, two brothers and sisters. And so we want to remember him in our thoughts, along with all the rest of our Gulf War vets that seem to be dying in an early age group, and plus those of us in the older age group like Doug and I are. I wonder if a lot of us are going to live as long as World War II vets or Korean vets. So that is our remembrance today, and there was quite a few Marines all at once that died. So we want to remember our Marines, our Navy, our Air Force, and our Army that served over there, and take a minute to remember them, and remember that our battles are still going on to get our veterans taken care of, get them compensated, and to proceed on. Now, one of the ways we're proceeding on is we are fighting for funds up on the Senate side now, and we have until Wednesday to get our United States senators signed on to the effort being led by Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and we're trying to get $25 million this year for our Gulf War illness research through the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Program. That goes on to a huge defense appropriations bill, ends up maybe being one sentence buried within a huge bill that will allow us to keep trying to find biological methods to diagnose them, be it biomarkers, be it diagnostic tools like Dr. Haley's work down at UT Southwest, Dr. Bronick's work at Georgetown University, wherever it may come from, and hopefully treatment trials will come about to help those improve the quality of their life. And so we need everybody on the phones come tomorrow morning. We have until Wednesday close of business to get our United States senators to support this effort led by Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders sent out a letter last Friday, so they've had it for over a week during the Easter break when they were home. And we're asking them to sign on with the effort for $25 million. And the increase is twofold here. Number one is that the VA people are limited in that they can only fund researchers from the VA. And to make matters worse, is they had about $15 million to spend on us, and they only spent $4.9 million. And with the cuts, that's what they're projecting again. So we're not going to get our answers too well from the VA researchers. The Research Advisory Committee has been fighting to bring them on board more, get them to go along with the same direction as congressionally directed medical research. As yet, we haven't seen them turn around and do the right thing. We're hoping they will. But the congressionally directed medical research program is open to any research worldwide. Can put in a proposal, go through two panel reviews, and, you know, compete to be awarded a grant to help us find answers. Now, that's critically important this week. I need everybody on the phones calling their United States senators in their D.C. office and talk to their military defense, and if it's an appropriations person on the staff, that is who you need to get to. You need to get past the receptionist. We're not talking about supporting or voting for. We're talking about the senator signing on with the plan that Senator Sanders has put out to get the funding. This is the very first step we go through every year. We need our supporters to be calling, talk to their senator's office in the D.C. office, ask for their military defense person or their military defense appropriations person. A lot of the senators have multiple staff members, and you want to get to the right one. Do not stop at just a receptionist saying, I'm calling in about this. You can go online and send an email message to your senator. That's great. But we need you talking to the person that's got the job to lay it in front of his boss and get him signed on by Wednesday afternoon.
Okay,
that's
great.
Critical.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
And you have a good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got a little bit different show. Whether you're a military veteran or currently in the military or a family member, what do you have to do at time is relax. You have to get your mind back at ease. You have to have some fun, get energized, and keep going. Well, one of the ways that we can do that, and I've been involved in this for many years, is community theater. And tonight I've got a very special person. I've got Diane Pritchard, who is involved with the Champaign Urbana Theater Company in Champaign, Illinois. She's one of the founding members. She's also basically the director of what we call the Murder Mystery Dinner Theater, and she sits on the board. Well, welcome, Diane. Welcome to Warrior Connection.
Hi, Doug.
Well, boy, this is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, could you tell everybody what community theater is and how you know, what the benefits are, please?
Well, a community theater is usually a theater composed of volunteers and amateur actors, and I use the word amateur only in the sense that we are not paid for what we do as, quote, professional actors are, but I have to say that many of the actors we have in our troupe are professional quality, even if they aren't choosing that particular lifestyle. Our community theater has the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, has been in existence since 1992. It was founded by a group of very dedicated theater lovers who wanted to bring Broadway-style shows to the East Central Illinois community. And we began performing at the beautiful historic Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign originally. Big 1,500-seat theater, large stage. The theater was in desperate need of renovation. It had been originally a vaudeville house back in the day.
Yeah, this theater would have built about 1920 or 1921.
I think about 1921, yes. And then it was owned by Carasotis Theaters, and was a movie house for a number of years. Then they pulled out, and the building was just kind of there, and another company came in and was bringing in concerts and festivals and whatever they could, but it kind of struggling, and we thought, well, maybe we can jump on board, perform there, and help raise awareness about the theater and get it going. And long story short, that dream came through. Now the theater is in the hands of the Champaign Park District. Some much-needed renovations have been done, including the initial ones of just bringing it up to code. There's going to be some interior work this summer done on to really restore this theater to the grandeur that it was when it was built. About Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, we put on sometimes four, sometimes six, depending on the year, musicals and or plays for our audiences. Everything that is done is done by volunteers, although we do have a few paid positions of the director, the music director, and some of the staff members. Usually, for every person on stage, there's about three persons behind the scenes backing them up, building set, painting, designing set, getting props, sewing and fitting costumes, designing lights, all of that backstage stuff that goes on behind the show that makes the spectacular show on stage for our guests.
I think it's very important to understand, again, the type of people, and this is one of the things I think is extremely important for the veterans that have come back and they're looking for relaxation or they're looking for something to do.
Yeah.
This is what they and their entire family is going to get involved
exactly.
in. And I know with the Champaign Urbana Theater Company, because I'm directly involved with you
right.
all the time, is we have entire families.
We're,
our youngest actors are three or four, and we got Grandma on the stage.
Exactly. We have Fiddler on the Roof, a production that we've done twice in our history, is a great show for families to come out because it takes place in a village, and you need family units. And sometimes full families, mom and dad and a couple kids, will come be in the show. And then the rest of their family is out in the audience. And you know, going to a Broadway-style musical is a good time for anybody. You come to see some of these great shows, Oklahoma, The Sound of Music, Fiddler on the Roof,
The Music Man
that we just did last summer. Wonderful music, wonderful stories. You can't help but going out smiling. And, you know, for a little while you're in that theater, and there is nothing like live theater, Doug, you know, watching a movie is one thing, but when you have people on the stage singing, dancing, conducting their scenes, sweating, you know, you can see them after a big dance number standing there taking the applause, and every chest is heaving because they've been dancing so hard. That's real. And there is nothing like that, and you can't help but have a good time.
I think one of the neat things about live theater, and again with the Champaign Urbana Theater Company and any other places, I know this is done across the nation, because as I've traveled the nation working with the veterans, working with veterans organizations, I've had the pleasure to go and see their community theater, because they said, well, hey, Doug, we know you're involved in the theater. Come and watch what we're doing.
Exactly.
And it's absolutely wonderful across the nation. I think the neat thing about the Champaign Urbana Theater Company and other places where I've been involved in theater, we have full live orchestras.
Exactly.
And we're extraordinarily lucky to have professional directors for our orchestra.
Yes. We do, and some of those orchestra members are career musicians who play in perhaps the Champaign Urbana Symphony or other the Parkland Orchestra or other groups. Some are students from the University of Illinois. Occasionally, we have high school students who are an exceptionally talented come and play in our shows. And we do a student production each year also, and the orchestra for that is made up primarily of students, 19 and under. So
yeah, I think
it's a great opportunity.
I think with the student productions, and obviously we have to have the adults, the other, you know, the rest of the family members involved. But the student productions, I mean, there was Les Mis was done.
Yes.
I mean, some of these absolutely incredible productions, and to see the talent of the children
absolutely
that come out is staggering. And I think what's neat, and again, this is why I want to emphasize this for veterans and veterans' family, no matter where you are. This is something the entire family can get involved in, something that they learn from.
Exactly.
I know one thing that's done really well, and again, with the community theater in our area, and again, Diane runs a grade school, ladies and gentlemen, so she is an education all the way. But one of the things that we do, and I've done this when I've been involved, if we have the kids there or even the college kids, we're not only doing the theater productions, but you have incredible tutoring going on at the same time for the kids to make sure that they're up to speed on their homework. If we have students that's in college or going to high school and gets involved, the work they're helped with. So you have a totally rounded out opportunity. I think that it's the strength of it is just, I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, Diane?
It is. And another thing about community theater, Doug, is it's affordable. Tickets to our shows are, I think, oh, now I put myself on the spot. I think it's $15, $16, something like that for adults. $12 for students and seniors, and about $8 for kids 12 and under. And that's on probably a general level for most community theater companies. It's not going to have a high ticket price. If I go up the road to Chicago to see a professional company, as I have many times, I'm looking at $80 for the ticket, plus the Ticketmaster fees, plus the drive to Chicago, plus staying out and eating while I'm up there. I can drop a couple hundred dollars just going to see a show. And sometimes, Doug, I've seen those shows and said, this was very, very good, but was it all that much more money better than sometimes shows, not every show, but some of the shows I've seen our company do?
I think what's neat about community theater, and I've been involved, I think I got involved in this a long time ago. The first play that I ever did, and I had to think about this, was back in 1962. And it was a melodrama.
Mm-hmm. I love
and it
those.
Was one where, you know, we had it on the old pasted mustaches, and we had the Pretrend railroad tracks, and, you know, time
to blow it up. Melodrama, it's the cheesier the better. I love it.
It doesn't get any better than that. And then when I was back on active duty as a director of the Depleted Uranium Project at Fort McClellan in 1994, I had the theater experience of a lifetime. And what had happened is Easter was rolling around, and the chaplains and the base chaplain said, how about if we do the Living Last Supper for Easter? And I had the pleasure of being selected to play Andrew the Bringer,
yes,
with an entire cast. And obviously the chief of chaplains played Jesus Christ. And the experience was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in theater or anything else, because the emotion was there, the development was there. Yes, there were 13 of us on stage, obviously, you know, the 12 disciples and Jesus Christ, the pastor playing Jesus Christ. But the background, the set design, the music, the sound, and everything else, all of the people involved, it was such an emotional experience that at the end of this whole thing, when we went down, and obviously this is on Easter at Port McClellan, Alabama, in 1995, and what they decided to do is have full communion for everybody that attended. And so at the end of it, you know, with the Living Last Supper, and we all know because Easter was just last weekend, what had happened, it all took place. And then the senior pastor, the chief of chaplains for Fort McClellan and the U.S. Army Chemical Corps and the U.S. Army Military Police Corps, so we're talking about major commands in the Army, led the whole communion, and they did a silent communion, you know, communion by tincture. I mean, you know, fully formal and everything else. It was just an incredible, incredible experience.
Beautiful.
And that you can't get other places other than, I think, in community theater, because the family involvement, what you have, what you see, what needs to be done is emotional beyond comprehension.
By the time you spend 6 to 8 weeks putting on a production, rehearsing every night with these people, building, painting, sawing, nailing, drilling, screwing, sewing, cutting, everything, by the time you get to the end of that show, you are a family. In the last 6 to 8 weeks, you've probably seen those people more than you have seen your own family. And closing performances, there's some tears, you know? It's like, I don't want this to be over. This was so much fun. This was, we did a good thing here. And it is a very heartwarming experience, and you meet some great people in theater.
Oh, absolutely.
Very talented people, very giving people. You have to be giving to be on stage, because that's the essence of what you're doing. You give of your soul to the audience because you want them to feel. If you can't project the emotion of your character right out to that last row, you're not doing your good job as an actor.
I think the neat thing about this, too, and maybe we can go over a little bit of what's involved and put in on production. I mean, how does it get set up? Because, again, what I'm advocating here is the veterans of our nation, the families and everything. This is something you can get involved in for relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also incredible, incredible level of physical rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in my own case, and Diane's totally aware of this, we put on Andy, Get Your Gun, and I was just recovering from major spinal surgery, and my physical rehab for the surgery done by the VA and the department in the Army was, again, my one of our coordinators for the production. And so at the same time, I'm doing the theater. We're getting physical rehab at the same time. And we've had, I mean, we've got military veterans totally involved in our productions at all the time, haven't we, Diane?
Yeah, we do. I can think of three offhand. In fact, a couple of them I didn't even realize until you and I and these two other people were doing a murder mystery last January for FOTH Infrastructure, FOTH Industries, whatever, I forget their name, but they said at the end of the show that they created flashlights for the military and for police departments, and that many of their company workers were veterans. And you raised your hand, and so did Rodney and Michelle, and said, oh, we're veterans too. And I didn't even know that about the two of them. Knew you, of course, but, you know, and we probably have a lot of other veterans in our theater company that I just don't know of because maybe the subject just hasn't come up.
It's something that's involved in.
Yeah.
So when we're doing theater, I mean, obviously, we're going to have a director. A director is a person,
mm-hmm.
and you've directed before.
Mm-hmm.
A director puts his show together, gathers all the resources, and then plans how it's going to happen, right?
Let's back up from that, because pretty soon here in this year, CUTC is going to start researching and determining what our 2013 season is. So preparation for these shows can be a year or more in advance with selecting the show, selecting a season that works together, a season we think our audience will enjoy, a season we think our actors will enjoy, and one that will sell. Then we have to be sure we can secure the royalties to those shows and select the directors and producers and musical directors and choreographers for the show.
Now, these are professional level people.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe people who have done this sort of thing either by training or just by experience in theater companies. And that is all done by our managing director. Then once you get those staff members set up, they will go out and hire their set designer, their set builder, their lighting designer, their props master, their costume designer, I think I'm forgetting somebody there. But anyway, all those behind-the-scenes people, and then they will start holding production meetings 6 to 8 months out from the show date to decide what they're going to do, who they're going to need, set audition dates, and build a concept of the show, all those things. About 10 weeks before the show opens, auditions will be held, and they will advertise though and have anyone come to audition for the roles and select a cast. So by the time the cast arrives, they're almost the last piece that goes into that from all these months of thought and preparation to bring to life the concept that the staff member team has thought up. That's how it happens.
There are a lot of people involved behind
Absolutely.
The scenes.
And as I said in the beginning, about three people behind the scenes for about every one body on stage.
Yeah, and that turns out to be a lot of fun.
And the other fun thing about community theater, we have people from all walks of life. We have attorneys. We have policemen. We have firefighters. We have, well, being in town right with the University of Illinois, we have university professors of all disciplines. We have school teachers. We have bookkeepers. We have secretaries. You name it. It's just people who, gee, I really liked theater in high school. I think I might try to do some of that again. I always like that show. It sounds fun. And they come and audition, and bang, then they're on stage.
Well, I think one of the actors that we have in our community theater has been a foremost actor here is one of the foremost cardiac surgeons in this entire region of the country, too.
Yes. Yes. You know, And you wouldn't even know it when he's, I've done shows with this gentleman, and he's a great guy, but, you know, he doesn't really go around and say, I'm a cardiac surgeon. He's just, you know, he's just him, and great actor.
I think that's the neat thing about community theater. It brings everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a family, it doesn't matter how old you are or what you do, it's what you can contribute and how you contribute and how much love and effort you give into the whole production that just makes it so wonderful.
Absolutely. It is. And there is a lot of love. There is a lot of effort. And, you know, making a commitment to a show is a big commitment. I mean, 6 to 8 weeks of rehearsal, if you have a full-time job like I do, you have to think long and hard about, is this a show I want to do? Do I have the time right now? Can I take the time away from my family? What else is going on during this time? Do I really want to do this? It does take commitment and time. But that's where the murder mysteries that we do together are another outlet, because they don't take all of that time. A murder mystery is something we do in just an evening, and we ad-lib it and don't even rehearse, and you go out, have fun for an evening being somebody else, and have a great dinner, and you come home.
Yeah, we've had a lot. We've been, you know, I've been involved with the murder mysteries again, and when we do these murder mysteries, and Diane, who we have here, she is basically our director, the coordinator for the murder mm-hmm. mystery program, and we'll have people request us an entire, we're going about 100-mile radius around Champaign-Urbana.
Yes, we are.
And we'll do this for any organization, any schools, any clubs, anybody else. We do a lot of things where they're having
corporate parties. Private homes, birthday parties, all
yeah.
kinds of stuff.
Gets to be a lot of fun. Again, different things and different things. So you have, well, we have the full-blown different stage productions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're focusing on, we do Broadway-style family-oriented musicals. The other thing, too, that you can have, obviously, the whole gamut of anything in theater that you want to work with. And, again, provides this capability mm-hmm. for everybody to get involved.
And if you're not the type who likes to be on stage, if you're good at carpentry or sewing, or you just want to come usher, there's lots of other ways to get involved with the community theater that gets you out, gets you having some fun, and it doesn't take the time commitment.
That really, I mean, again, here's something, ladies and gentlemen, again, for those in the military. I mean, you'll find out at most military installations, they do have a community theater on those installations. Ones I've been involved in, they've always had one. You'll find one in the area where you're living, and you can get involved in this and find out, okay, what do they have? What are they planning? Can I come up with an idea or plan that I might want to do? And so this is a way for you to get involved in community theater. And again, for relaxation, anybody that's been in the military for a long time, obviously you need to relax. You get a deployment, you come back, and you need to get something involved with your family. And this is something that you can do completely and all the way together. We should be coming up pretty quick here, I think, on a station break, if my producer is there. And I guess he'll come in with the music whenever he's there. One thing that you mentioned, Diane, I know we've been involved with, the difference between a full-blown stage production and what we call the murder mystery
mm-hmm.
is, could you explain something between, here we come with our music, we'll come back after station
okay.
break. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Warrior Connection. This is Doug Rocky, and my guest tonight is Diane Pritchard from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. And what we're talking about is a way to relax, a way to have fun, a way for the veterans and the family members to get involved in community theater and everything involved with that. You know, and what we'd like to do right now is we'd invite any veterans or family members that are listening out there, if you've been involved in community theater throughout your military career and community where you live, please give us a call and join the conversation. The phone number to call in to join our conversation is 888-874-4888. 888. Again, come on and join our conversation at 888-874-4888. Well, anyhow, it's again, well, we're kind of like here in East Central Illinois. We've had a lot of rain and everything over the last day or so, and it's pretty high winds right now. So it's getting a little interesting. Diane, what we were talking about at the end is, could you describe the difference between if you're doing a full-blown stage production where you're knowing you're learning your lines versus a murder mystery dinner theater was virtually ad-lib?
Well, I think everybody's pretty familiar with a full-blown stage production. It can be, you know, 2 to 3 hours long. Everyone has specific lines, specific songs to sing. It all happens in a predetermined order on a set, which may change. A murder mystery, now I will preface that, Doug, with saying there are some different kinds of murder mysteries. The style we do is completely ad-libbed. We don't have a script. We don't have set lines. Each character gets a bio, a description of their character and of everyone else's, because they kind of need to know all the interactions, and tells them who they are, where they've been, what their purpose is at that evening tonight, and what they're trying to do, if they're trying to get somebody to fall in love with them, if they're trying to break up with somebody, if they're trying to work a business deal, if they're trying to foil a business deal, if they're just happen to be an innocent bystander, but they've got a key piece of information, you know, that kind of thing. Then we go to the dinner. Our murders, I call it an audience interactive event. In other words, this isn't a play that we are performing for our guests, but rather a game that we're playing with them. And from the actor's perspective, the guests are there for no other reason than the event named in the plot. They're there for the class reunion or the will reading or the anniversary party or the engagement party or the stockholders meeting or whatever the essence location of the plot is. Our guests receive a packet of information that give them the cast of characters and a short description of each character, and the rules of the game, and a voting ballot. So that's all they have. So their job is to talk to the actors, who will be circulating around the room talking to them too, listen to them, see what they have to say, and just kind of pay attention to what's going on. Whose wife is hanging around another guy a little too much? Who's, you know, passing notes to each other, whatever is going on. These actors are going to drop hints in their conversations. They may have some physical evidence or pass notes, as I said. And then at some point, one of the actors keels over and dies.
Oh, my.
And then an investigator character, usually someone who's an attorney or a police officer, a detective, or someone with a position of some responsibility, takes over and collects the physical evidence that has been floating around the room and asks the guests to accuse suspects. Well, the guests will, you know, generally accuse all of the actors, and sometimes the actors will pick out guests to accuse and bring up in the suspect line, too.
So this is almost
the person who happened to be too close to the person when they keeled over. It could be a suspect. And there's always one person, Doug, and you and I know who they are. There's always one person in every crowd who is the nosy Nelly and follows the actors around, and no matter what you're doing or every time you turn around, that person is there, and she or he is in everybody's business. That person will usually always get accused just because they have been so involved. And that's great. We love people to be involved in these things. That's what we're there for. We want everybody to be excited and asking questions and following us around.
So I think on these murder mysteries, again, it's a different style, and they're anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe 3 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that's really, really interesting, because there's different murder mysteries. We have some that are totally family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones are selected very specifically for a group based on their designs and what they're doing. I think, and I had this experience over and over again, some of the grade school kids, like 7th and 8th graders,
oh, yeah,
and the high school kids, are the most fun to be involved
Absolutely.
With.
They are so into it. They will. Their parents will send them out to collect the information for them and bring them back. This story has been told more than once. I played a character in one plot, a wife who just is, she and her husband are having a terrible time in their relationship, and she's discovered in the course of the evening that her husband has a secret child by his high school ex-girlfriend, and oh, he's being blackmailed, and things are just terrible. And this character is having a little bit of a drinking problem and maybe a little bit of a pill problem, too. And I have to say, Doug, when I play those characters, just for your listening, for your listening audience, the only thing I'm ever drinking is like club soda or tonic water, and the only pills that I have in my purse, I might have an unlabeled pill bottle, but it's something like vitamin C in there. So it looks like, and you've seen me, I can play a pretty good drunk and be cold stone sober. So anyway, these three middle school kids were very, very concerned about me. They said, those pills say you're not supposed to drink alcohol with them. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't take. They actually took my pills away from me. And they were so concerned. And you know, they had all been taught, you don't do this, you don't do this. And they were really trying to reform me. But unfortunately, my character couldn't do that at that time. So I had to go and have a talk with them afterwards and thank them for their concern and assure them that I wasn't drinking anything and the pills were only vitamin C, and that I was really quite all right. And the operative word there was acting.
I think one of the neat things about this, and we've all been involved with this, all actors, anybody, whether it's done it here with Champagne Urbana Theater Company or across the nation, you'll be in a production, whether you're on stage, and or you'll be in a murder mystery. And there were two of us, with our own grandson, both of his grandpas were on stage in a production one time. And our grandson out there, my grandpas are...
That's great.
You know, and we'll hear that all over. The excitement, the joy that everybody gets, whether you're in the audience or on stage, is wonderful.
Well, I think most people have had a child or a grandchild or a relative be in a play or a dance recital or a band performance or orchestra performance or something sometime, you know, in the course of school or even sports. It means so much to the performer or the dancer or the band instrument player, whoever it is, to know that your family is out there. They've come to see you. It's an important thing for the families to come and witness the talent and the time and the energy and the performance that their relative is giving. And it's important to the performer to know that those people are out there. It's just a good relationship. I always enjoy it when I can peek from behind the curtain and say, okay, I know those people. I can, you know, I've got somebody out there I can connect with.
I think one of the neat things, again, if anybody is in the Midwest here, one of the places that we do a lot of murder mysteries, and Diane is coordinating this, turned into an incredible, incredible evening and opportunity, is in Peoria, Illinois, with the Spirit of Peoria.
Riverboat, yes.
Could you describe that a little, Diane, and what's happened there?
They called me, it's been, I think, about 5 years ago. They'd heard about our mysteries because we had done a few others in the Peoria area, and they wondered if we could come perform on the riverboat. And so I took a drive over there one day and saw the boat, beautiful paddle wheel riverboat. It has two engines that drive the paddle wheel, but the paddle wheel is the main source of propulsion for the riverboat. It is a reproduction built in the early 90s, I believe, a two-deck riverboat, very beautiful. It has an inside dining area and outdoor decks. We do a murder mystery cruise of about 2 hours. We have one coming up the 12th of May, if anybody is in the area, spiritofpeoria.com. You can contact them for tickets. They serve a wonderful buffet dinner.
Oh, boy, do they.
The food we've had over there is fantastic. And if it's prime rib night, it's about the finest prime rib you want to have any place. It's great. Nice cruise up the river and back down. And while that's going on, we do our murder mystery. And it's a lot of fun. We're getting a lot of regulars that we recognize coming back in these crowds. Boat holds about 150 people for dining on the upper and lower decks. And we do performances in May, in July, and then we're doing October, and then two Christmas shows this year for them. It's really fun in the summer. We try to get our mystery done early so people have time to enjoy the beautiful evening on the river. And the carp jump alongside the boat. Sometimes they will jump from the river up on the deck. It's just funniest thing in the world to watch. The riverboat has other cruises too up the river. They sometimes have a river historian going along. They take cruises up to Starved Rock State Park to the north and down to Pere Marquette State Park to the south along the Illinois River. It's a beautiful riverboat and a great venue.
Don't they also go all the way to St. Louis also?
I don't think they can get all the way to St. Louis because of Chain of Rocks, but they go as far as Grafton and Pere Marquette.
That's something else.
Yeah.
There's so much. It seems like with community theater, there's so much people can be involved in. So, again, veterans and family members, again, this is an outlook for physical relaxation, to have fun, to get your families involved in something, and this is the reason why we're doing the show this evening. Again, if we have any veterans out there, family members involved in theater, please call us. Give us a call. Let us know what you've been involved in. And that was 888-874-4888. Now, one of the great joys, I know, with the Champaign Urbana Theater Company, and for both of us, we have a theater angel.
Oh, yes.
Is a very, very important person to us. And what she developed is the student productions, which are in the summer here in Champaign, Illinois. Could you describe the student productions, how it got involved, and who's involved in this, and where they come from?
Well, the angel you're talking about is one of our founding members, Kathy Murphy, who passed away. It's coming up later this month, just on years. And she had breast cancer and died, and she was the heart and soul of the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. And it's taken about 20 people to fill the shoes of what she did. But we wanted to give an opportunity for the youth of East Central Illinois to perform a show on a big stage at the Virginia Theater. And so we started having these student productions. These are students 19 years old and younger. You can't be over 19 and be in the show. And we try to have these students be as involved in the production as possible, taking over not only the roles on stage, but learning the roles behind the scenes. So they're learning stagecraft and theatercraft, building sets, sewing costumes, acting as assistants to the director and to the producer and to the musical director, so that they, again, it's a mentoring situation of the professionals helping the students learn the process of what they're doing. And we have named that, since Kathy's death, the annual Kathy Murphy Student Production. That is the official name of it. And we get students not only from Champaign-Urbana area, but from about, I'd say, a 50 to 75-mile radius driving to Champaign to rehearse and perform in these shows.
We
have done Les Miserables twice. They've done Bye Bye Birdie. They've done Ragtime.
Willy Wonka.
The student performance is going to be Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yeah, and then we did Willy Wonka a couple of years ago.
I forgot about that. Was the one I forgot. Thank you. I knew there was one I was missing there.
Yeah, so, just absolutely wonderful opportunity. Now, the other thing, too, along with these all the productions, so ladies and gentlemen, family members, you can get involved at any level you want to. Find out what's in your area, whether it's your military installation or in your local community. Get involved in community theater. The other thing that, again, that's available, and I know where I was down at Fort McClellan, Alabama, we had Jacksonville State University. And they were not only a university-level theater, but they also were a community theater where they allowed the community members, and I got involved in there to audition just like everybody else did. The neat thing about Jacksonville State, it's a home of the Southern Playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who are familiar with theater, Southern Playwrights goes to the Hallmark Hall of Fame. And so we're talking about incredible opportunities for everyone to get involved in at any level that you might want to do.
We're fortunate in Champaign-Urbana to have several community theaters, each kind of occupying their own niche. Not only the Champaign-Urbana Theater, there's Parkland College Theater. Our junior college here in town has an excellent theater program. And their auditions for their shows are open to the general public. Anyone can come and perform. We also have the Station Theater, which has saved the old Urbana Depot train station as a theater. And they have been performing there for... now I'm on the spot again. I think it's 30 years for the station now. And plus the University of Illinois has a theater department. Most of their productions are University of Illinois students, but their summer repertory theater often is open to the public as well. So there can be theater opportunities just about anywhere you look. And again, it's not always for people who like to act, dance, and sing. There are always behind-the-scenes jobs that are available that could be, you know, if you're capable of sewing on a button or holding a paintbrush, you can probably come and help.
I think one of the neat things about this, and again, this is, I know, dear to Diane's heart, because one of the key persons that Diane relies on entirely is one of the foremost retired U.S. Army engineers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's to think about one of the foremost engineers in the U.S. Army, history of the U.S. Army, is one of our primary people.
Yes, he is the ruler of the backstage. You'll never catch him on stage, although he does perform in murder mysteries, but anything involving construction and the mechanics of production, flying sets, and by that I mean attaching cables to things and hauling them up to the ceiling when they're not in use on stage, sets and curtains and construction and all of that, he knows. And that's the great thing about community theater, too, is people bring their professional talent into the theater, and it's wonderful of them to share their expertise.
For a few hours, you get to suspend real life.
Absolutely. That's what theater is all about. Just taking, you know, a step into another time, another place, and being somebody you're usually not, like an alcoholic, sad, murdering wife.
You know, I think when you look at some of the different murder mysteries that you can do everything. I know we have one that's real famous. These are takeoffs on Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another one that's a takeoff on Mayberry RFD, you know, with all of those. We've got a whole host of different things you can do. And what we have been very fortunate, and again, because we're at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, with all the resources here, we have an incredible array of people. But one of the individuals has written a lot of plays for us and everything was actually one of the most brilliant people we've ever met, an honest-to-God Jeopardy contestant.
Yes.
Who took it upon themselves, and I think tonight's very, very important. It just dawned on me.
Yes, it is.
This story is incredible, and Diane, maybe you could tie the Champaign-Urbana murder mysteries together with world history up tonight, right now.
Yeah. We had concluded a murder mystery at a location. We're sitting around talking afterwards, and someone started talking about the Titanic. And they were talking about the recreating the dinner menu of the Titanic for the last dinner and that. And they said, do we have a murder mystery about the Titanic? We're going, a murder mystery about the Titanic? Ooh, you know. But our author thought about it and said, yeah, I think I can do something with that. So, you know, since today is the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, we do have a plot about that, although our mystery does not have an iceberg in it. It is just about happenings on the ship in the style of the time. We did not cross the line into the disaster. We create our own little disaster with the people in the plot, but it really is a very good plot, and people really enjoy it, just because, like, everyone is so fascinated with the mystique of the Titanic, the times and the people and the dress and the formality, and it's really very well received, and we always have a lot of fun doing it.
I remember the first time this was put on, and again, the menu that was for
that
evening.
Yeah, they tried to recreate as much as they could the menu for the last dinner on the Titanic. You can find it on the internet. It had about 11 courses. There was a lot of food there.
Yeah, and just the total involvement of everybody and how mm-hmm. it all happens and what transpires. So, again, we're looking at different things. We have full-blown stage productions of all the different types. Mm-hmm. Again, what Diana specializes in is Broadway-style musicals. Then we have the murder mysteries. Again, this is interactive dinner theater where you have the opportunity to get involved. So I guess the whole key thing, ladies and gentlemen, veterans, military, family members, everybody's listening, here is another outlet, a way for you to get involved, something that you can do with your family, something that you can do for relaxation, something that you can get involved in for rehabilitation. The whole thing is all there, an opportunity for you to do something different, contribute to your own well-being. But what I find most enjoying is contributing to everybody else and seeing the joy and the wonder and the miracles, whether it's a child or it's an adult, or it's a grandparent, for what happens on theater and what mm-hmm. happens on stage.
It is a beautiful effort. A lot of people's time and talent come together, and it creates something magic. And that's the magic of theater. And it's wonderful to be involved in. If that's not your cup of tea, just, you know, find your local community theater and buy some tickets and go to a show and support them that way, because it will be time well spent.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've had another fine evening. We're running on down. Diane, one thing I've never asked you, how did you get involved in theater? I mean, you're totally involved and committed
to
this besides running
to
grade school.
Well, when I was about five, I grew up in the St. Louis area. My parents bought season tickets to the St. Louis Municipal Opera, the Muni. And we went every Saturday night for about 3 or 4 years. And I came out of that just singing all the songs, just loved to go. I still have some of the programs from some of those that we saw in the late 50s, early 60s. And I happened to see Oklahoma. And it was just about the same time that the movie Oklahoma came out, so I saw that. And then my brother and sister, who are much older than I, were students here at the University of Illinois, and we came up on Mom's Day to the spring musical, and guess what they did? Oklahoma. And Mother had bought me the soundtrack record, the 33 RPM record, and I grew up wanting to be Lori, and I was in high school.
Wow.
I took voice lessons, and that's how it got started.
Fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've had another interesting evening. Diane, thank you very much
for coming on my show.
And ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Progressive Radio Network. We're moving forward. Warrior Connection is a voice for veterans in our nation. Have a good day, and God bless America, and thank you very much. Thank you, Diane.
My pleasure, Doug.